Today's daf is Yevamos daf Samach Vav.
And we are on the first wide line on daf Samach Hei Amud Beit.
Today's daf is being learned as a schutz refuah shalema for Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Elazar li Pashalem ben Feger Rachel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Chaya Sara bas Yenta, Leia Gittel bas Devorah, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Reb Zecharia Shimon ben Reb Yitzchak HaKoyen, and Le Ilui Nishmas Shlomo ben Yibadol L'chaim Toivim Reb Chaim Doiv.
So the last Gemara, the last sugya, really in Perek Abal Yevimtai, and it's just the conclusion of the sugyas of Puravu, which has been the topic of the daf the last couple of days. So in the Mishnah we saw Machloikis Tanon, Reb Yochanan ben Broika and the Chachamim. It's a short Mishnah, guys. We'll see the Mishnah again inside. The Mishnah said, "Ish mitzvah al piri v'rivya." A man is obligated in the mitzvah al piri v'rivya, but not a isha, not a woman. Rabbi Yechim Abreika Imer al shneiem oimer. No, a woman is also chayiv in the mitzvah of piri v'rivya. It's not a mitzvah saseish as man geromos. He says, "Nashem are also chayiv," and I'll prove to you that they're chayiv because in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem turns to Adam and Chava. The pasuk says, "Vayevaruch isem alikim, vayoimer lehem alikim pruvu." Pruvu is a lashon rabbim. He's clearly talking to Adam and Chava. So if Hashem told Adam and Chava Puravu, that is proof then that the mitzvah of Puravu is not only a mitzvah that's incumbent on the man, but rather incumbent on the woman as well. What's Pashup Shad and the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Yechim and Breika and hold that only the Ish is mitzvah al piri v'rivya and not the Isha? So the Gemara said that if you look further in the Pasuk, Vayivaruch Chayisim Alekim Vayayim Alehem Alekim Puravu Miluasa Aretz V'kivshua, the Torah says that populate the world, and not only pamper the world, but v'kivshua, conquer the world as well. Says the Gemara, ha'ish darkoi lichboish, ve'ino isha darkoi lichboish. It's only a man's derech to conquer, a woman's derech is not to conquer, and as a result, it's only the man that's obligated in Puravu, not the woman. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan ben Broika, itma, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chadama once said, halacha Rabbi Yechanan ben Broika, halacha Rabbi Yechanan ben Broika, that women are mitzvah in Puravu. Chadama once said, in halacha Rabbi Yechanan ben Broika, that halacha is not like Rabbi Yechanan ben Broika, rather like the Chachamim, that women are mitzvah and puravu. Says the Gemara, it's time Rabbi Yechanan Huda Amar in halacha. So we're not sure who said what. Did Rabbi Yechanan say that halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika? Or is it Rabbi Shua ben Levi that said that halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika? So we know one. Either Rabbi Yechanan said one, Rabbi Shmuel Levi said the other. We just don't know who said what. It's the same. Rabbi Yechanan did not mean halacha. I bring you a right. Rabbi Yechanan is the one that said halacha is not like Rabbi Yechanan and break it, rather like the Chachamim. The Yosra Rabbavo v'ka'amar mishmei Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbavo was once sitting together with the Chachamim, and he said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that halacha ki Rabbi Yechanan ben breiko. And when he said that, v'adrinu Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi lapayo. So Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi were both sitting together with Rabbavo, and when they heard what Rabbavo said, they turned their faces, they turned their heads in disgust, as if they were really unimpressed with Rabbavo said, as if he was absolutely wrong. Ikadamri, some say that it was Rabbi Baraba that Omar that said it, and then the Adrinu Rab Ami v'Ravasi Lapayo. Same story, Rab Ami v'Ravasi didn't like when they heard an Amora say that Rabbi Yechanan held that the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan Breika. The two versions of the story are whether it was Rabbavo who said it, it was Rabbi Baraba that said it. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, Bishlam the Mandam Rabbavo, Bishlam, according to the version of the story, that it was Rabbavo that said it, Mishum Kovid, Bei Kesar Loi Omer Levi Loi Midi. I understand why Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi reacted the way they did. Meaning, what did they do? They started making facial expressions, they turned around, clearly not happy with Rabbavo said, rather than Zugus Grud, and just tell Rabbavo that you're wrong. The halacha cannot be like what you're suggesting. Rabbi Yechanan, the great Rabbi Yechanan, would have never paskin like Rabbi Yechanan Breika. The reason they wouldn't have told it to Rabbavo, Mishum Kovid Be Kesar, it's because Rabbavo was an Ish Mechubad. He was a dignitary. He was a very, very chush of a person. And it's for that reason that they felt that it was beneath his dignity for them to just tell him off. So even Rab Ami and Rav Asi, who were the Gedolei Yisrael, had respect for Rabbi Avohu because of the fact that he was a VIP, he was a very important person. It's for that reason they wouldn't have told him off. The Gemara talks in different places. Rashi quotes a few Gemaras where Rabbi Avohu had tremendous protection, and if the Xeris that Yidden had, he was very often the intermediary. This Gemara Chagiga that we learned together, I think the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was the Shliach Tzibur of Klal Yisrael the Inyone Shemaya, so in Shemayim he would intervene on behalf of people. And Rabbi Vo, not in the same era, but Rabbi Vo was an example of somebody that on this world would intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara also says Rabbi Vo was very handsome. The Gemara says that Shufrei the Rabbi Vo was Me'in Shufrei the Yaakov Avinu, that he looked like Yaakov Avinu, that physically he was a very handsome person, so that probably lent to his ability to be very persuasive. But the point is that the Gemara says, I understand, Rabbi Papa said, the story why Rabbi Ami Rav Asi would not tell Rabbi Avo, you're wrong, because Mishum Kovet Bekesar. But if it was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba who said that Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Breiko, if Rabbi Ami Rav Asi held that it was wrong, why didn't they just tell them, Leim Rule, Loi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Okay, so my Havi Allah, what is the bottom line? Toshma, Omer Rabbi Acha Bar Chanino, Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rav Asi, Uv, the Havi Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. There was a story before Rabbi Yochanan, Beknishta the Kisri, in the Beis HaKnesses of Kisri. Yesterday we had a story with Rabbi Yochanan, Beknishta the Ma'in. So now we have in a different shtibul. Beknishta the Kisri. So a story happened, Va'omar, and he said, Yoitzivit and Ksuba. What was the story? Where a woman tried getting out of her marriage on the premise that she didn't have children. So the woman now comes to the Rav and says, I'm married for 10 years. I don't have any children. I want out of my marriage. And Rabbi Yochanan said that the husband has to give his wife a get. Not only that, he has to give her a ksuba. So what's the kasha? What's the raya? If it's true that a woman doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu, ksuba maya vidite. So Rabbi Yochanan could paskin that because of feelings that the woman has, the husband's obligated to give her a get. That the Gemara doesn't have an issue with. But why is she getting the ksuba? The only time a woman gets a ksuba if she tries getting out of her marriage is if the husband did something wrong or if she's entitled to get out of her marriage. But if a woman wants out and she somehow forces her hand or forces her husband's hand to give her a get, she loses. It comes at the expense of her ksuba. So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan felt that this woman gets her ksuba for being married 10 years without children and wanted to get out of her marriage, it must be that she's entitled or she has some sort of obligation to find a way to have children. Must be Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Breiko, that a woman is mitzvah on period of erivia. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Dilma beba machmas taina. Maybe really Rabbi Yochanan held that a woman's not mitzvah on period of erivia. Why then did Rabbi Yochanan allow this woman to get ksuba? Because perhaps she had a good taina. And if a woman wants out of a marriage and she's ba machmas taina, she has a good taina, why the husband should give her a get? Could be she would get the ksuba. What was the taina she had? Similar to a taina that another woman had. She told Rav Ami, "Have liksuba. I want to get and I want my ksuba. Amalah." So he told her, "Zil, go away. Like mifkidus, you're not mitzvah period of review. You have no right to get out of your marriage. So why should you get your ksuba?" Amalei says she told him, "Misiba dila ma'ate havi Allah da hachitza. It's true. I'm not obligated to go have children. But when I get older, who's going to take care of me? I don't have any children. I need children simply to take care of me when I'm going to be older." Omar, he said, "Oh, kiha, it's a very good taina. Vade kafinon. If she's concerned that she's not going to have anyone to take care of her when she's older, and it's for that reason she wants out of her marriage, she's considered a ba machmas taina. So even though it's nothing halachic that's underlying her desire to get divorced, but at the same time, there is something real underlying it that's enough basis for her to opt out without her losing, without her forfeiting her ksuba." Similar story. He that said the commander of Nachman, Amalah, she too wanted out of a marriage after being married many years without children. So she wanted the ksuba. Rav Nachman said, "Loi mifkidis, Amalei, loi boichach itza, do I not need chutzra liyada, a walking stick for my hand, umar lekfura, and a shovel one day for when I'm going to be buried? Meaning I need children. Who's going to take care of me? So I need to find another husband. Maybe I'll have children with the other husband." Amas, Rav Nachman said the same argument. Kiha, vade kafinan, that we definitely allow her to get divorced, meaning we force the husband to give her a get. Not just that, she wouldn't lose the ksuba either. Yehuda v'chizkiya to umim hayu. Yehuda and Chizkiya were the sons of Reb Chiya. They were also twins. Echad, amazingly, nigmar tzurasa l'saif tisha. One was born after 9 months. Ve'echad nigmar tzurasa l'tchila shiva. And the other one, 7 months. Yehudis, devisud Reb Chiya, hava l'tzar leida. Now, Yehudis, who was Reb Chiya's wife, so yesterday we had Chayma, who was Abaya's wife, now we have Yehudis, who was Rabchiya's wife, Havala Tzar Leda, she had a very difficult pregnancy. It sounds like this was a complicated scenario. The Gemara Leda is going to say that she had another set of twins as well, meaning whenever she had children, she always gave birth to twins. So she decided that it was very hard for her to go through these pregnancies. So Shanoi Mana, what she did was, she changed her clothing, meaning she dressed up as if she was not Yehudis, the wife of Reb Chiya, but some other woman, and she went to ask a shayla by a chashav Rav, none other than her husband, Reb Chiya. So she comes to her husband, dressed up as a different woman, not looking like Reb Chiya's wife. Reb Chiya doesn't realize he's talking to his wife. Amra, she asked Reb Chiya, her husband, it's a mifkada, period, verivya, does a woman have an obligation to have children? She said, no. She said, okay, thank you, Rabbi. She walked outside. Ozla ishte sama da akarta. She drank something that caused her to become infertile, that she shouldn't be able to have children anymore. And that was that. So the Gemara says, with time, it became apparent what had happened. Rav Chiya realized that his wife couldn't have children anymore, and that she was the woman that had come and asked the Shaila. They knew the rest of the story. Amar la, so he told her, Iku yaldasli chada kreis achrita. I wish that, Rashi says, Umi yitein shaloisha sis halavai, you would not have drank that kosh shal ikrin v'tildi li oit keres echad shnei banim. And you would have given birth to another two children. Why two children? Because she always gave birth to twins. Damar mar, Yehuda v'chizkiya, ach, Yehuda and Chizkiya were twin brothers. Pazi and Tavi, ach v'sa. They were twin sisters, also Rav Chiya's daughters. Mara says, one final question. V'loi mifkidi, is it true that women are not mitzuvim peri v'rivya? Bam rab, ach bar katina. Why did Mara bring this story? To show that women are not mitzuvim peri v'rivya. And if they're not mitzuvim peri v'rivya, then she can do something to cause herself to not be able to have children. A man would not be able to do that because he has a mitzvah per revu, unless he's been kind of mitzvah. But a woman would be able to do that simply because she does not have a mitzvah. V'am Reb Acha Bar Katina, V'am Reb Yitzchak Maisa, there was a story, B'isha Achas, She'chetz Yoshifcha, V'chetz Yobas Choyrin, there was a woman who was a Chatzi Shifcha, Chatzi Ben Choyr. So we've had the Eved, who's a Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Choyrin. The Shifcha is just a female version. She's a Chatzi Shifcha, Chatzi Bas Choyrin. What's the classic case? She was bought by two Shutfin. One of the Shutfin gave her a get shichur. The other one did not give her get shichur. The one that gave her get shichur made her into a chatzi bas chayrin. The one that didn't give her get shichur made her into, she remains a chatzi shivcha. So the story was where she was a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chayrin. V'kofu esir abba v'asa bas chayrin. And the Rabbanon forced her master to give her a get shichur and make her into a bas chayrin. And what's the Gemara's kasha? We're familiar with the machlokes b'shamei and b'sulu regarding a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chayrin. Chatzi eved, chatzi ben chayrin, koifin esir abba because of the get shichur. We force the master of the Chatzi Eved to give him or get Shechur to free him. And the reason is because otherwise he'll never be able to get married. To marry a Bas Chayrin he can't because he's a Chatzi Eved. To marry a Shifcha he can't because he's a Chatzi Ben Chayrin. Not to get married, the Gemara says, that's not an option. So because of the mitzvah of Puruvu, we go and force the Adoin to give her a get. Now this story that the Gemara tells was a story where you had a chatzi shifcha, chatzi bas chayrin, and they did the same exact thing that the Torah says you have to do with a chatzi, chatzi bas chayrin. They forced the master to give her get shichur. Now, bishloim, if she's mitzuvah on peri v'rivyo, so I understand why they did it. But if she's not mitzuvah on peri v'rivyo, why did they force her? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, minik hefker nagub. And the reason they forced her was not because of the fact that she had a mitzvah peruvu. Really, she doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu. The reason they forced the Adoin to give her a get shichur was because people had been defiling this woman, this nus. She was a troublemaker. She was living in the community. People doing averus with her. And for that reason, they wanted her away. So they forced the Adoin to give her a get shichur. Like, this will get her out of the picture, and we won't have to deal with her now. There's a Tosfos and Masechtas Gittin Daf Men Aleph on the base that we've spoken out in the past, but we'll save that for another day. Very nice Tosfos, very Yisoidus to get Tosfos on this last Gemara, but we'll just leave with Hachin Alach Haba Ayavimtei. All right, so the new Perek, Amona L'Kohen Gadol, it's a short Perek. It's only 4 blat, although it leads very much into the following parak, which is a longer parak, and that's parak ha'aral. So it's a very yeshivish parak, it's a yesodis tiga parak, and there's a lot of dvarim ma'imdim berumah shalaylam with regards to nidnashim and ezikin that are in parak amana l'kohen gadol. So just a very brief akdama. So really 2 short introductions that we need for parak amana l'kohen gadol. The pasuk in parashas Emor says, v'koyen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoi, we know that only a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Someone that's a zar, which is defined as anyone that's not a kohen, be it a yisrael or even a levi, someone that's not a kohen is not allowed to eat truma. Stating that, the Torah says that the kinyan kasboy, the possessions, the acquisitions of a kohen, who yoichal boy, are allowed to eat truma. Chazal said that kinyan kasboy includes 2 categories of people. Number 1. an Eved Kenani or a Shivcha Kenanis, who we know have a din of a Yisrael b'miktsas. There's a Geirus process that an Eved Kenani had to go through before he became the Eved Kenani of Yisrael, as we learned in the Sugyas of Perek Acholitz. An Eved Kenani, a Shivcha Kenanis, being that they are the possessions of a Kohen, although they themselves are clearly not Kohanim, the Torah says, Kiyin Kasbu Yoichaboy, they are allowed to eat Truma, just like a Kohen's allowed to eat Truma. Additionally, Chazal said that the wife of a Kohen, even if she herself was a Bas Yisrael, but if she marries a Kohen, she's considered Kinyan Kaspoy of a Kohen, and it's for that reason that she too would be able to eat Truma. So from Kinyan Kaspoy, we learn two halachas. Number one, the Avodim, Knaniim, of an Eved, of a Kohen, and number two, the wife of a Kohen, they're both allowed to eat Truma. It's interesting that there's another pasuk in the Torah that teaches us that an Ishas Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. And that's a lesser known pasuk in Parashas Korach. Parashas Korach, you have all the psukim with the Chaf Dalad Matnis Kuhuna, and the Torah says as follows, V'zelecha Trumas Matanam L'chol Tnuva is Beis Yisrael, L'cha Nesatim to the Kehanim, U'levanecha V'levnesecha Idcha L'choy Koylam. So, we're talking about Truma. V'zelecha Trumas Matanam. And the pasuk concludes, Kol Tohar Beveischa Yoichal Oisai, that anyone who's tohar in your house is allowed to eat from this truma. So Rashi quotes the Sefri, Kol Tohar Beveischa L'Rabbi Zishtoi, that even your wife, who's a Bas Yisrael, but she's a tohar Beveischa, she too is allowed to eat truma. So two psukim that teach us, two mekoris, that an Eishas Kohen, even if she's a Bas Yisrael, is allowed to eat truma. Number one, Kinyin Kaspoy Hu Yoichaboy, and number two, Kol Tohar Beveischa Yoichal Oisai. The Achronim, Amayrech, they discuss, why do we need two psukim? Are there nafgaminas between the two psukim? Two dinim? Which pasuk is the ikur drasha? It seems to be a machlekes rishonim. Some rishonim, when they bring the halacha that an eishes kohen is allowed to eat truma, they quote the pasuk of kinyan kaspay hu yoichaboy. Other rishonim, when they bring the halacha, they quote the pasuk of kol tor beveischa yoichaloisoy. So I am Achronim. It's a long, nice discussion why exactly we would need two psukim. The first makar, again, was Kinyan Kaspoy Hu Yoichaboy. It's Yidua that the Avni Meluam asks that he doesn't understand how we can learn from the pasuk Kinyan Kaspoy Hu Yoichaboy that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. What does the Torah mean when it says Kinyan Kaspoy Hu Yoichaboy? That the possession of the Kohen, Kaspoy, it's his money, the thing that belongs to the Kohen, Hu Yoichaboy, is allowed to eat Truma. Fake Avni Meluam, it's true that an Eved Kenani belongs to his master, but does a wife belong to her husband? She's not the possession of her husband. Not just that, the Gemara says that an Arusa Bas Yisrael, if all you had is Erisin, Midday Raisa, she's also allowed to eat Truma, because it says in the Torah, Kinyan Kaspoy Hu Yoichaboy, Fake Avni Meluam. An Arusa Bas Yisrael, even Midday Rabbanon, the husband's not entitled to any money that she earns. All the monetary halachas, that monetary schusim that a husband has in his wife, that's only after Nesuin, it's only Midday Rabbanon. After Erisin, you don't even have anything. So, Freik Davni Meluim, how could Kinyan Kaspoy include Ishtoi? Since when is Ishtoi Kinyan Kaspoy? Now, it's true, the Mishnah says, O Ishno Niknis, Big Gimel, Drachim, Bekesef Shtarubiyo. So there is some Kinyan taking place when you do Kiddushin, but it's not Kinyan Kaspoy, she's not Avdoi, she's not Chamoyre V'Shoyroi. So the question is, how could you learn Kinyan Kaspoy to include Ishtoi? That is the Avni Meluim's Kasha. Says the Avni Meluim, a very important teretz, and he says, when the Torah said Kinyan Kaspoy, L'Rabbois Ishas Koyen, it doesn't mean it in the same vein as it means by Eved Kenani. By Eved Kenani, Kaspoy means he is his Kesef. Over here, what it means is, Kinyan haba al yedei kesef. And we know that Aisha nicknames big kesef. So the wife then, who is kinyanoi shel habal, with regards to not dine mominus, regards to other halachas, what the Avni Meluim famously described as kinyan isser. There's a kinyan isser, whatever exactly that means. But there is a kinyan that's ba al yedei kesef, and it's for that reason she's referred to as kinyan kaspoy. And the Avni Meluim brought a beautiful raya. It's raya, which is kedarke bakodesh from a rashi, a subtlety in a rashi, in Masechtas Ksuvos, daf nun ches amud aleph, but it's a raya berura to what the Avni Meluim is saying. Rashi over there says, Masiach lefi tumoy, that if a man would be Mekadesh's wife, Kiddushei Bia, there's three ways to be Mekadesh and Isha, Kesef Shtar Bia. What if he'd be Mekadesh's wife through Bia? So the halacha is that she would eat Shuma. Says Rashi, you know why? Ki hechi de Kiddushei Bia, Machilim ba'arusa, says Rashi, three words. De iskish havayis lahadadi. So too, the point that Rashi's trying to make. We know there's a klal, iskish avayis ladadi, isha's nikness, either kesef or shtar ubiyo. Any halacha that comes as a result of kedushe shtar, you have if you do Kedusha Kesef, and you have if you do Kedusha Bia, and vice versa. Because Iskish Havayis LaHadadi, the three intermediaries that the Torah gave us to create Kedushin, are Hukish LaHadadi, that any halacha one creates, the other creates as well. Says Rashi, that being that Iskish Havayis LaHadadi, if somebody would be Mekadesh Nisha, Al Yidei Kedusha Bia, the halacha is, she would have a din of an Arusa Bas Yisrael, that's a Chelos Pichum, afraid to Abni Melun. Why do I need Iskish Havayis LaHadadi? Why should Kedusha Bia be any different than Kedusha Kesef and then Kedusha Shtar? The reason an Eishas Koyin, Arusa Bas Yisrael, eats Truma, is because she's Kinyan Kaspoy. So, nu, if her Isha nicknames Babia, she now became Kinyan Kaspoy the Koyin. If she's Kinyan Kaspoy the Koyin, there's no reason she shouldn't eat Truma, says the Avni Malu, and the Teretz and Rashi is Poshet. Because the Torah never said that the reason an Eishas Koyin can eat Truma is because she's Kinyan Kaspoy of the Koyin Be'etzen. She's not. She's not like the Eved. She's not like Shoyev HaMoyer. What does Kinyan Kaspoy mean? Kinyan Haba al Yidei Kesef. Does look Rashi, so Ketayt Chamino, if the Ish is Mekadesh's wife, Big Kesef, then there's Halach of Kinyan Kaspoy that she could eat Truma. But what if he's Mekadesh Bebiya or Bishtar? Then you wouldn't have that Halach. Says Rashi, true, but Iskish Havayis LaHadadi. And if an Isha that's Nikdis Bekesef is Eichelas Betruma, then an Isha that's Nikdis Bebiya would have to be Eichelas Betruma as well, says Davni Malum. It's a Raya She'inol of Tshuva from Rashi, that Rashi understood Kinyan Kaspoy, Legabi Isha's Koyin, is different than your Kinyan Kaspoy as it relates to Avdei v'shoyroi, beautiful. That is the Avni Malon. We also know the halacha that a woman who is entitled to eat truma, if she becomes a chalala, she can no longer eat truma. Important halacha. A bas koyen eats truma as well. So an eishes koyen eats truma, a bas koyen eats truma. If a bas koyen marries a Yisrael, she no longer can eat truma. Unless they have children. If they have children, then the halacha would be, even if her husband, I'm sorry, a bas koyen that marries a Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. However, if he dies or gives her a get, and she did not have any children, so then she goes back to her father's house, at which point she is allowed to eat truma again. The same is true in the reverse. An eishes Yisrael who's married to a koyen is allowed to eat truma. Kinyan kaspoy, kol tor beveis chayochal oisai. However, if her husband dies or if he gives her a get, then the halacha is going to be the same. If there's no children, she goes back to her father's house, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. She does have children, then she continue eating truma, machmas her husband. That's the first akdama. The second akdama, which is shorter, machmas her children. The second akdama is, and this we already discussed, we have a whole intro, there's a whole link to this intro on Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, and that is when a woman gets married and she brings nechasim, possessions, into a marriage with her. So those nechasim can be categorized in two ways, either as nechse melug or as nechse tzayim barzel. So Ruvay marries Rachel, and Rachel has she has a trust fund. She has money that she's coming into the marriage with. So the question is, how does halacha views that money? What rights does the husband have in that money? So it depends. Really, when the husband and wife get married, they sit down. There's probably a prenup in this marriage. So they can sit and elect to either view this money as what's called nechse melug, or view this money as what's called nechse tzayim barzel. And they're very important halachic nafkaminas if they choose to look at this money as nechse melug, or look at this money as nechse tzayim barzel. Again, it's decided at the time of the marriage. Nechse melug would mean that all the nechasim that the woman brings into the marriage are going to continue to be the wife's. They're hers. They're absolutely hers. Meaning, if they go up in value, she makes the profit. And if they go down in value, she's the one that suffers the losses. Although, during the time that they're married, just to keep a stable home, the Chachamim gave the husband rights in those nechasim, so that, for example, if it was a field that yielded payers, the halacha would be that the husband is able to be oichel payers. In a more modern, contemporary example, if it was a piece of real estate, so she would own the real estate, but if it generated any rental income, for example, that would belong to him. So she keeps the keren, but he is oichel peiros. That's only true as long as they're married. If he gives her a get, or if he dies, the same time she gets her ksuba, she gets back her peiros nechse milog. So he owns the kinyan aguf, she owns the kinyan peiros. You can see where there can be complicated sugyas that can derive from this general idea. That's if they decide to go the nechse milog route. There's another option, and that is to go the nechse tzayim barzel route. In which case, when she gets married, she decides that she's giving over the actual nechasim to her husband, meaning that they're yours. How far does that go? That we'll see in today's daf. That was a very important, very yesoidist thing in Machlokes Amiram. But generally speaking, he now becomes the owner of these nechasim. However, at the same time, he has a choiv to reimburse his wife the value of what those nechassim were worth at the time that they got married. So if the nechassim were worth $10,000, so he has an obligation after he dies, or if he divorces her, when he pays up the ksuba, in addition to the ksuba, he's now going to have to include $10,000. What if the piece of property is now only worth $8,000? It was his property. He takes the loss. What if it's $12,000? He's the one that made the profit. In the Nechset Sein Barzel example, he's the one that takes the risk. He's the one that now owns the nechassim. We'll see how far that goes in course of the Gemara. He just has an obligation to reimburse her the value of whatever these nechassim were worth at the time that they were married. Why was it referred by Chazal as Nechset Sein Barzel? It was called Barzel because the price, the value from the woman's perspective was fixed. She basically hedged herself. She had no risk anymore. She was going to get the $10,000 back at the time that she was supposed to be paid back. So just like Barzel is solid, so too her ownership, what she owns, the value of these nechassim from her perspective, is solid as well. It was called Soin Barzel because the shepherds used to make these arrangements with the balabatim, right? Shepherds were babysitters. They would take people's sheep and they would watch them for the day and they would get paid. But the arrangement that they would use was a similar arrangement to this, and it's for that reason Chazal referred to it as Nechset Soin Barzel. But we're not discussing Soin and we're not discussing Barzel. We're discussing a woman getting married and she comes with an adunya. She has some money that she's bringing into the marriage, and depending on how they decide to dub it, it could be either Nechse Milug or Nechse Tzorn Barzal. On that note, it's not a difficult daf. Sok the Mishnah, Amana l'Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol who marries an Amana. Now we know a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana. If she was an Amana mena Erisin, he's over a Loisase. If she's an Amana mena Nesuin, it's a Loisase and an Ase. Or a Grusha v'Chalutza the Kohen Hedyet. A Kohen Hedyet's not allowed to marry a Grusha or a Chalutza. He can't marry a Grusha mida Oiraisa. He can't marry a chalutza midirabbanan. So the Kohen Hedyet went keneged the Torah and he married a grusha v'chalutza. The Kohen Gadol went keneged the Torah and he married an amana. Okay, chnisa avdei milug. Now, she, this woman, brought into her marriage avdei milug, nichsi milug, in the form not of a field, not of a piece of real estate, but of an eved. Same thing. An eved, once upon a time, before Lincoln freed the slaves, people could own slaves. And your slave was very much like a piece of real estate that you owned. So it's considered your nechassim, and it could be either nechse milug, avde milug, same thing, or nechse tzayim barzel, avde tzayim barzel. So this woman brought avde milug and avde tzayim barzel. So the avde milug lo yoichle b'chuma. The avde milug are not allowed to eat chuma. Avde tzayim barzel, the avde tzayim barzel are allowed to eat chuma. Now, clearly implied from this Mishnah is that in an ordinary case, a woman that gets married to a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma because she's an Eishes Kohen. Her avodim would be able to eat truma as well. It's going to be, the Mishnah is going to mention it in the Seifa, but it's implied from the Reisha as well. The reason the case of the Reisha is a little different is because in the Reisha's case, it wasn't an ordinary marriage. It was an Amana that married a Kohen Gadol. It was a Grusha v'Chalutza that married a Kohen Hedyet. From a Truma perspective, what's significant about that is that when the Amana marries the Kohen Gadol, the Amana has a din of a Chalala. And being that she has a din of a Chalala, she herself is not allowed to eat truma. So being that she herself is not allowed to eat truma, that will impact her avodim as well. How so? The avdei milug who belong to the isha cannot eat truma. Because being that the isha can't eat truma, the avdei milug can't eat truma as well. The avdei tzoyim barzel, like we just spoke out, that belong to the kohen, they can eat truma. Because although the isha, that's a chalala, cannot eat truma, the father, he doesn't become a chalal, right? Remember, Makis Tabez, Maha, Mechalal, Eina, Meschalal. He created the chalalim, he created the chalala, but he himself did not become a chalal. He's not a chalal, he's allowed to continue eating truma. If he can eat truma, then his avadim can eat truma as well. So the avadim cannot eat truma because they belong to the Eishes Kohen, and the Eishes Kohen herself can eat truma. The Avdei Tzoyim Barzel can eat truma because they belong to the Kohen, and the Kohen himself can eat truma. The Gemara is going to explain this more. The Elohein Avdei Milug, what's the significance of Avdei Milug? In Mesu, if they die, Mesula. Who loses if they die? The woman loses. The Maisiru, if they go up in value, who makes the profit? Aisiru lo, because she owns them. And Afa Pishu, Chayibim Zainoy Son, although the halacha is that the husband is obligated to support just to feed the Avdei Melog. However, that's not enough to say that it's his possession that they should be able to Trumah. They're her possession because she's really the owner. She assumes the risk. That's how you know they belong to her. And it's for that reason that they would not be able to be Trumah. The Elohim Avdei Tzim Barzel. What's the significance of Avdei Tzim Barzel? In Mesu, if they die, Mesu Loi, he's the one that loses out. He still has an IOU. He has to reimburse her the value of what they were worth at the time they got married. The Mesiru, if they go up in value, Mesiru Loi, he's the one that makes the profit. And Hoyova, who Chayiv Ba'achri Yusam? He's not just Chayiv B'mezoy Noisam. He's Chayiv Ba'achri Yusam. He's the one that's taking the risk over here. Hare Elu Yoichlu B'Truma. They belong to him, and therefore they eat Truma. Bas Yisrael Shenisses a Kayin. We said this was implied from the beginning of the Mishnah. A Bas Yisrael, a regular Bas Yisrael that marries a Kayin. She's not a Lamana, the Kayin Gadol. It's not a Grusha V'Chlus, a Kayin Hedyid. It's a regular Kedushin that was done Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. V'Chnis Alei Avadim. And she brought Avadim into her marriage. Bein Avdei Melog. Bein Avdei Tzim Barzel. Hare Elu Yoichlu B'Truma. They could both eat Truma. The Avdei Tzim Barzel could eat Truma because of the Kayin, the man, and the Avdei Melog could eat Truma because of the Eishes Kayin. And in this case, the Eishes Kayin is not a Chalala. She's a lady Truma. If she could eat Truma, her Avadim could eat Truma as well. Bas Kayin Shenisisli Yisrael, one final halacha. What about in the reverse? A Bas Kayin that marries Yisrael. So although a Bas Kayin was a lady Truma, now that she marries Yisrael, she cannot eat Truma anymore. Vechnis Aloy to the Yisrael Avadim, Bein Avdei Melog, Bein Avdei Tzim Barzel, Hari Elu, Loy Yoich LeBetruma for the same reason. The Avdei Tzim Barzel belonged to the Yisrael, and the Avdei Melog belonged to the Eishes Yisrael, both of whom cannot eat Truma. Since for that reason, Avadim will not be able to eat Truma as well. Freak the Gemara. If Avdei Melog Loy Yoich LeBetruma, in the case of Amon L'Kayin Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kayin Hedyet. So the Avdei Melog and the Avdei Melog were not able to eat Truma. The Avdei Tzim Barzel were allowed to eat Truma. The Avdei Tzim Barzel were allowed to eat Truma because they belong to the Kayin who could eat Truma. The Avdei Melog belonged to the woman who's a Chalala. She can't eat Truma. Her Avadim can't eat Truma either. But the Gemara in the Havamina doesn't really understand why that should be the case. Amai, why can't the Avdei Melog eat Truma? Lahavi kikinyonoi shekona kinyin. Why are they not like the kinyin kaspay of the Kayin? That in itself was kind of something, the possessions of the Kayin, where the halacha is that you can't eat Truma. The Tanya, it's a Mefurish HaBraiso. How do you know that a Kayin who gets married or owns Avadim, that the wife of the Kayin and the Avadim of the Kayin can eat Truma, and the Kayin can nefesh kinyan kaspay? Who yoichabay? This is, by the way, a Mefurish HaGemara that quotes the Pasuk of Parashas Emor as the Makar that an Ishas Kayin is allowed to eat Truma. Not the Pasuk of Parashas Koyrach called Torah Beveis Choyoichaloy. So there are many Gemaras like that. But a second halacha, how do you know that a wife of a Kohen, shekanta avadim, that owns avadim, or va'avadav, or the eved of a Kohen, shekanu avadim, that itself acquired avadim. Rashi asks, v'im toimar, ma shekana eved, kana rabbi. Right, not for now. Sheyoichlu b'chuma, how do you know that the avadim of the isha, or the avadim of the eved knani themselves, can eat truma? Shenemar, because it says, v'koyin ki yikne nefesh, kinyin kaspoy, hu yoichaboy. Ki yikne nefesh kinyan. It says kinyan twice, and we learn from there kinyanei shekana kinyan oichol. So the Gemara's question is that why can't the Avdei Melog of the isha eat truma? Why is this evet different than any other kinyan shekana kinyan? Meaning, I understand that the Avdei Melog is not kinyan kaspi of the kayin because it belongs to the isha's kayin, but the isha's kayin is kinyanei shel kayin, and this is kinyanei shekana kinyan. So the answer is what we spoke out when we learned the Mishnah: because kol oichol meichol and kol shein oichol any meichol. Being that she her schus, the evet schus to eat truma would be that the evet is the kinyan of the isha's kayin, and the isha's kayin herself cannot eat truma. So kol oichol an isha's kayin that could eat truma meichol. Her Eved could also eat Truma. But Kol She'ein Oichel, an Eishes Kohen that cannot eat Truma, such as the Eishes Kohen in the Reish of our Mishnah, because she's a Chalala, Ein Meichel, her Eved can't eat Truma either. Faith the Gemara of Eloi, is that true? Varei Oral, the first Halachan, Perik Ha'Oral, an Oral, someone that doesn't have Bris Milah, the Chalat Meyem, and anyone that's Tameh for that matter. So a Kohen that's an Oral, or a Kohen that's Tameh, She'ein an Oichel, and Halach is they cannot eat Truma. Umachilim, however, their Avodim can eat Truma. So you see that just because someone's not an Oichel doesn't mean he can't be a Meichel. So the same thing, the Isha Chalala's Evet Kanani should eat Truma, because although she herself is a Chalala, she's not an Oichel, but she should be able to be Meichel. So the Gemara says, Hasan Pumayev Kavlohu. Those people, the Oral and the Tmeim, they're not Nismait, they're not excluded from the Parsha of Truma. There's just a technical issue. He has an Orla, so do a Bris Milo. Now you'll be able to eat Truma. The Tomei, go to the Mikvah, become Tar. You'll be able to eat Truma, then you won't have an issue. They're not excluded from the Parsha of Truma as much as the Chalala is. She's a woman who will never ever be able to eat Truma. She can't take any Advil. There's no Pumayu Ka'ivlahu that she can correct thereby being able to eat truma. And it's for that reason that although an oral and a tameh could be meichel despite they're not oichel, but an eishes kohen, that's a chalala, cannot be meichel to the extent that she is not oichel. But the Gemara says, is that true? Have a kasha on the svara of pumayu kavlu, vary mamzer she'ein oichel u'meichel. The case that Rashi says, Rashi gives us the long version, I'll give you the short version, that eishes kohen, whose husband dies, if she has children through her husband, she continues to eat truma even after her husband dies. If she didn't have any children, can't eat truma anymore. What happens if she had a grandson, it had to be a grandson, that was a mamzer? So the halach is she continues to eat truma. That's fine. Although the child that she has was a mamzer, the mamzer is kibnoi l'chal davar, so the mamzer is considered a child, and that's enough for her to be able to continue to eat truma. Now the mamzer himself cannot eat truma. So the Gemara says, "Vare mamzer she'ein oichel u'maichel," and still he's a maichel, and there's no pumayu kavluhu because the mamzer is excluded completely from the parasha. So you see, just because you're not oichel doesn't mean you can't be maichel. So say the same thing that the evikanani of a chalolo should be able to eat truma. Amar avina kinyan oichel ka'amar. No, the Gemara svara of why the Avdei Melug of a Chalola cannot eat Truma is because what would their schos to eat Truma be? The fact that they're the Kinyan of a Kinyan of a Kohen. Kinyan Oichel Kamar. Kinyan Oichel Meichel. Sheine Oichel Eine Meichel. When my schos to eat Truma is that I'm Kinyan Kasboy of a Kohen, then I could only be Meichel if I myself am an Oichel. But if I'm going to be Meichel for some other reason, like the Mamzer is Meichel in the sense that as long as there's a Mamzer, as long as there's a child, in this case a Mamzer, then the Ishus Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, not because the Mamzer is Kinyonoi Shela Kohen, but simply because he is the one that's keeping, perpetuating the marriage with the original Kohen. So she's eating Truma because of the fact that she was an Eishes Kohen, not that she's the Kinyan of the Kinyan. Meaning the Svara of Kol Oichel Meichel, Kol Shein Oichel Meichel, is a Svara that's unique to the Halacha of Kinyonoi Shekona Kinyan. So that's the first Teretz in the Gemara. The reason the Abdi Milog of the Chalol Kenani Truma is because Kol Oichel Meichel, V'chol She'ein Oichel Eine Meichel, and the Gemara limited that idea only to Kinyonoi Shekona Kinyan. Rav Amar, Rav says a different Teretz. Midei Raisa Meichel Achli, you're right. Midei Raisa, the Avdei Melug of the Eishes Kohen that's a Chalala would be able to eat Truma. For Rabbanon, who the guys, it's only a Dinder Rabbanon. The reason is because we want her to feel very uncomfortable in her marriage. This woman's not allowed to be married to her husband. She's an Amona Lekohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol's not a married Amona. Now, if she's going to see that, number one, Ani Eino Yecheles, I can't eat Truma. And Avdi Eino Yechlin, and my Avodim can't eat Truma either. Zoyne Yetzlai, I'm obviously not this man's wife. I'm a Zoyna. Hilka Chasi Lafuka. And she's going to go ahead and make sure that she gets divorced. We want her to feel like a Zoyna. We don't want her to feel like a wife. And by the way we do that is by taking away some of the schusim that a wife ordinarily has. So it's true. Really, Midai Raisa, her Evet should be able to eat Truma. We make the Evet not be able to eat Truma just to add discomfort to her in her marriage so that we will incentivize her or motivate her to try to get out of her marriage, which is the right thing to do, because Midai Raisa, they're not allowed to be married. Incidentally, although Midai Raisa not allowed to get married, she's still Kinyan Kaspi of her husband, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. I should have spoken that out at the beginning. We paskin that Kedushin's Teufas Bechayvei Lavin. So Amona can be married to Kohen Gadol. She's considered Kinyan Kaspi. She's allowed to eat Truma. All the schusim that Midai Raisa you get from a marriage, you get even if the marriage involved the Chayvei Lavin. Does she get a ksuba? Not sure. Ravashi, well, it sounds like you do, because the whole halacha of Nechzitza in Barzel is related to ksuba. I'm not sure. Ravashi Yomar, Gzeira Hashem Ataycho Lachami. So third teretz, Ravashi says, you know what the concern is? If we're going to let the Avnei Melug eat Truma, we're concerned that maybe even after the husband dies, after the Kayan dies, she'll still give her Avadim Truma, and at that point, her Avadim not allowed to eat Truma anymore, because since she's not Kinyone Shala Kayan, at that point, they're not Kinyone Shakana Kinyan. But Elamiyat, the Bas Yisrael, Shemus Sakanli Taychol, then Abbas Yisrael, even if she's a ksheira that marries a kohen, her avodim shouldn't be able to eat truma because after her husband dies, they won't be kinyan shekanya kinyan anymore. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elam Ravashi, that's not a good teretz, a different teretz perhaps. Balmona kohenes. We're talking about an almona that was a kohenes. The asyul oirue, she may make the following cheshbin. Meikorach the betruma. Before I got married, I used to eat truma and my avodim used to eat truma as well. Household be nasha. Because from my father, I was a bas koyim. Insibidly, now that I got married, lahai achli betruma the gavroi, I'm continuing to eat truma, and my avodim, you want to be able to eat truma as well. Vahashta hajli lemilse kamaisa, and now she thinks that after her husband dies, she's going to go back to being able to eat truma as well. V'layada, and she doesn't know the mikara. Originally, she was able to eat truma because she wasn't a chalala. But hashavisla nafsha chalala. So at this point, she's not allowed to get married anymore. I mean, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. So therefore, her avadim can't eat truma either. So the Gemara says teina chamono kehenes. That only works for kehenes, like Ravashi said, kehenes. But amono mas yisrael my yikil meimer. So the Gemara says ba almanusa loy pligi. We didn't make any chalukim between amona and amona. So it's for that reason she won't be allowed to eat truma. So the bottom line is we have a few reasons here in the Gemara why the avdim milug of Isha Chalala are not allowed to eat truma. What was the kasha? Kinyon Isha Kohen, Kinyon's allowed to eat truma. So the Isha's Kohen is Kinyon Kaspoy of the Kohen. Her Avadim are her Kinyon Kaspoy. Kinyon Isha Kohen, Kinyon are able to eat truma. So the first teretz the Gemara gave was on the Deiraisa level. No, Medeiraisa, it's flawed, the Cheshbin. Because Kinyon Isha Kohen, Kinyon only works when the Kinyon Kaspoy herself or himself is able to eat truma. But if the Kinyon Kaspoy can't eat truma, then in this case, her Kinyon Kaspoy wouldn't be able to eat truma either. The Gemara wasn't sure if that's a svara or not. Mara said, either way, there are cheshbonos mid rabbanon on the rabbanon level. Why the evet knani of a chalala should not be able to eat truma? A little bit vayte. Itmar hamachneses shum lebaylo, a woman that brings nechasim into her marriage, and she elects, she and her husband decide that these nechasim are going to be in the form of nechsei tzon barzel. So loosely translated, nechsei tzon barzel means that who owns the nechasim? The husband owns the nechasim. He just has an obligation. He has a chayv. That after he dies, his estate's going to have to pay her back whatever the value of the nechasim were, or if he gives her a get, he himself's going to have to give it to her. It's included in the ksuba. So they decide, nechsei tzon barzel. And what happens? Now he gave her a get. So he has to give her back $1,000. That's the amount of money, let's say, she brought into the marriage. Now, here I marry, she comes to her husband and she says, Kli ani noy telas. So let's say the nechsei tzon barzel wasn't money. She didn't bring cash. She brought possession, some heirloom that she had in her family that was worth $1,000. Let's assume it's still worth $1,000. So now it comes time to pay up. She says, I want back the keli that I gave you. For who I marry, he says, no, I'm not giving you the keli. Dabim ani noy sin. I owe you $1,000. I don't owe you this $1,000. This was mine. I acquired it. That's the whole it belongs to me. I assumed all the risk, had it gone up in value, I would have made the profit. What does that mean? That I own the keli. I think it's a really nice, I like it in my living room. I'm not interested in giving it to you. So, right, I have another thing to fight about. I'm not giving it to you. So he, I marry us again. She says, keli ani ne teles. Huvahu, I man, he says, no, I want to give you the money. Hadinim me, what's the halacha? Very yisoidistig shayla. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, hadinim ma, that the halacha is with her. She has a right to take back the keli. Rav Ami, Rav Ami says, no, the din is with him. Because it makes sense. We can't assume that the nechasim that she brought into the marriage was something that she inherited from her father's house. So it makes sense that she probably didn't want to give it away completely. She wanted to have the option to be able to take it back at some point. So therefore, the dahavi, it's because of that svara that we have a gilui das of what her thinking probably was, so she probably wants to take it back. She never was maknet completely. Rav Ami Amar, Rav Ami says, Hadin imoy, then no, he has a right to keep it. Why? Because keep it on Amar, and his right was from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, what's the halacha of nechsei tzon barzel? Im mesu, mesu loy, meaning if it goes down in value, he takes the loss. Vim oisiru, oisiru loy. And then the Mishnah said, not only that, hoyo l'chayi b'achriyus on yechelu, that if she, an isha, in the case of our Mishnah, where she was a chalola, a manol k'en gadol, and she had avdei tzon barzel, the halacha is avdei tzon barzel, let her eat truma. Why that let her eat truma? If she can't eat truma, her avodim should be able to eat truma. The teretz is, then not her avodim, they're his avodim. So again, you see, number one, he's assuming all the risk. You see that they're allowed to eat truma, although she's a chalala, because we don't look at them as her avodim. We look at them as his avodim. So clearly they're his. If they're his, he should be able to want to keep it. Rav Safra said that, number one, regarding your raya, Rav Ami from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that these avodim are allowed to eat truma, and that's a raya, that he owns these avodim, it's not a raya. Mik tadiv enchloi, the Mishnah never said they're his. All the Mishnah said, just be medayik the Mishnah, hoyo v'chayev b'achri yusan. Right? Remember the two cases in the Mishnah. One case, he's chayev b'mizay noisam. In the other case, he's chayev b'achri yusan. That's all the Mishnah said. He's chayev b'achri yus. Ulo oilam lavdi deinenu, but really they're not his. And the Mishnah is saying a chiddush, that if I'm chayev b'achrayis on this eved, it's mine legabe dinei truma. But not necessarily that it's mine from a chesh mishpat sense, that if you want the actual object back, you wouldn't be able to get it. But the Gemara asks, is that true? If someone has a chiv achrayis, a koyin has a chiv achrayis on a behemoth, the Mishnah's example is going to be, or on an eved, does that mean that eved or behemoth can't eat truma because there's, to a certain extent, it's kinyan kasbi of the kohen. What makes a kinyan kasbi of the kohen? The fact that the kohen has a chiv achrayas vatanan. It's a mefurish mishnah not that way. Yisrael shesach haparah mikohen. Yisrael that rented a parah from a kohen. Hareza yachileno kashine truma. He's allowed to give the parah kashine truma. Now, although a Yisrael is not allowed to give his own parah kashine truma, but being that he rented it from a kohen, it's not really his. It's the kohen's. So kohen's parah is allowed to eat kashine truma. Kohen shesach haparah miyisrael. But in the reverse, a kohen that rented a parah from Yisrael, afal pishem azenis alav. Even though he has an achrayis to feed this animal, lo yachilenu kashine truma, he can't give a kashine truma. What's the kasha? The kasha is a soicher, someone that rents something has a chiv achrayis. He's one of the dalal shomrim. He has a certain chiv achrayis, and still you see that a koyan who rents a part that belongs to Yisrael, that part cannot eat kashine truma. I, the koyan, is chayv achrayis. Let that make it kinyan kaspi of the koyan. So you see the chiv achrayis doesn't make it kinyan kaspi of the koyan. Why then can the avdei tzoyin barzel of the isha chalala eat truma? It can't be simply because the Kohen has a Chiv Achrayis. Because the Chiv Achrayis is not enough to make something king Kasbei. It must be it's really his. If it's really his, that's Rav Ami's Raya. That is the Gemara's Kasha. But the Gemara says, V'tizbro, it's not a good Kasha. Because it's true that a Soicher has a Chiv Achrayis. But his Chiv Achrayis is very, very limited. Nehi nami de mechayiv b'gnev v'aveda. It's true. Chloikis of a Soicher has a din of a Shem Rechinam of a Shem Esachar. But even L'chomro, he's a Shem Esachar, which means he's Chayiv Igneb of Aveda. But Be'unse, is he Chayiv in Oinsin? Or Be'kosho, Be'nifchas, Domeh, Mime Chayiv? Let's say it goes down in value. So if you rent a car, and now the car goes down $1,000 in value, and you return the car back, you also have to give him $1,000 because the car went down in value during the time that you drove it? Of course not. You definitely don't have to, you don't have to do that. Meaning, you're limited in how much achrayis you're taking. Holoi dami, if you want to compare the chayv achrayis in the Mishnah, you compare it not to a seicher, but to a different case. El seifa, Yisrael sham parah mikoyen, Yisrael that took nechsa milug from a koyen, lo yachilenu kashine chumo. Av a koyen sham parah miyisrael, yachilenu kashine. And the case of Shom over there is where the person took upon himself chiyuv einsim, like a shoyl. And there the halacha is that if a kohen borrows the par of a Yisrael, the par can't eat truma. Although a par of a Yisrael cannot eat truma, but in this case, being that the kohen is really chayv in achrayis, here he can eat truma. So you see clearly that the halacha is that there is a level of chiyuv achrayis where you would be able to be Michael Betruma. So says the Gemara, really it could be that the Avdei Tzoyin Barzel does not belong from a Chesha Mishpat standpoint to the Kohen or to the husband. All he has is a Chiv Achrayis, and as such, if she wants to take her Keli back, maybe she should be able to take it back. You have no right from the Mishnah. Yosef, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Bishili Perkid Rav Nachman, V'yasef V'kamri, so Rabbi Rav Yosef, Rav Nachman, the Gedoli Amirom was sitting around, and they were discussing the Shaila, and they said as follows, Tanya Kavosit Rav Yehuda, Avaraya from a Braisa like Rav Yehuda, V'tanya Kavosit Rav Ami, Avaraya like Rav Ami, Tanya Kavosit Rav Ami, Rav Ami was the one that said, had been Imoy, she can't get the Keli back, Braisa says, Avdit Sein Barzel, Yoitzin, Beshein, V'ayin Le'ish, Avaloy Le'isha, so husband and wife are married, she brought Sein Barzel, Avdit Sein Barzel, Evet Knani, and now either the man or the woman knocked out the eye or the tooth of one of the Avodim. Now we know that Loch is if the owner of an Evet Knani knocks out his Evet's eye or tooth, the Evet is Yoitze B'Shem Vay. So the Brisa said that in Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, if the Ish, the husband, would knock out the Shem V'ayin of the Evet, then the Evet would go free. But if the Isha would, the Evet wouldn't go free. So what do you see from here? Who's the owner of the Avdei Tzoyin Barzel? The Ish is the owner of the Avdei Tzoyin Barzel. It's Tanya Kavasi de Rabami. They also had a Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yehuda, HaMachnes HaShom L'Bailo, a woman that brings Nechsim Tzoyin Barzel into her marriage. Imrotza HaBal Limkar, Lo Yimkar. If the husband wants to sell the Nechsim Tzoyin Barzel, he doesn't have a right to sell it. V'loy Oid, Elafilu Hichnis L'Shom Mishaloy. Even if he brought in the Nechasim, it wasn't her, it was him. And he wrote in the Ksuba that after I die or after I give you a get, I'm obligating myself to give you the value of the Nechasim that I brought into the marriage. Same concept of Tzoyin Barzel. But she's not the one that's bringing it in. He's the one that's bringing it in. Same result. It's being written in the Ksuba as a Choyv that the husband has to pay based on what the value was at the time they got married. But either way, imrotza habal limkar lo yimkar. Again, he can't sell it. Machru shneim lefarnasa. Let's say one of the two sold it. Lefarnasa is lavdafka, but let's say they sold it. Rashi says, urcha de milsa nakat. Why else would you sell your possessions? But the point is, if one of them sells it, zeho yimaisel fin rishim gamliel. Fa'omar, and he said, ba'al moitz miyad lekuchais. That even b'di evet, it's not a good mecher. But what do we want from here? The first part of this braisa, ha-machneseh shum lebailo. A woman brings nechseh tzayim barzel into a marriage. The husband goes and sells it. Number one, he's not allowed to do l'katchila. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even b'di'evet it's not good. I thought it's his. If it's his, why can't he sell it? If somebody borrows, somebody takes a halva, that money is his. Milva leitzanin, it could be mekadesh anisha, technically, but milva. Mekadesh b'milva is also in kedushin. But milva leitzanin, it's mine. So if it's his, why shouldn't he be able to sell it? So you see from here, Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda, that he's only chayav b'achrayis, but it's not really his. That's what they said. They had a raya like Rabbi Ami and a raya like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nachman, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Rav al Rabbi Nachman, but Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Ami. He had a braisa that also supported Rabbi Ami. So why is it so posh to you that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So he said, afagaf the Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Ami, although there is a braisa like Rabbi Ami, I think Rabbi Yehuda's tam, his svara, is a little bit more mistaber, mishum shvach be'savio, like the svara that Rabbi Yehuda gave at the beginning of the sugya, shvach be'savio, that it makes sense that a person would not want to be makna, her tzoyim barzel, completely over to her husband, because chances are that tzoyim barzel that this young girl is bringing into her marriage was something that she got from her father, probably has something that had sentimental value to her, so she probably wants to maintain the rights to get this asset back in the event that it will be necessary at some point in the future. He it's a daile legavra it's the lo de melasa biksubas. It was a woman that she brought a wool beged to her marriage as part of her tzayim barzel. Shachiv, her husband died, and shaklu yasmi the yisaimim, who she's going to go to now to get her ksuba, included in that's going to be the tzayim barzel, took this beged, upersua amisna, and they draped it on top of the mace, almost like tachrichen. Amar Rava, Rava said, kanya misna, that what they did worked, meaning, the halacha is that tachrichen are aser behana. And what Rava Paskin was, that the yisaimim had a right to make this beged aser behana, because it belonged to them. It belonged to their father. They yarshined it, so they had a right to do it. If it wasn't theirs, it wouldn't be true that kanya misna, it wouldn't become asabana like ordinary tachrichen, because ein adam oiser, davar, shena shaloi. So from the fact that Rava Paskin, kanya misna would imply that this beged, this keli, that the woman brought into her marriage as tzoyim barzel, was of the possession of the husband. So Amalei Nani, Breder of Yosef, Breder Rav, the Rav Kahano, Vama Rav, Rav Nachman, Aloch, Rav Yehuda. But didn't Rav Paskin and then Rav Nachman, the Aloch is Rav Yehuda, Adinima. If Adinima, it means he's only Chayv Bachrayas. But she's the one that actually owns the keli. If she owns the keli, then it was hers. It wasn't the Yisayimim. It wasn't the Yisayimim. How do they have a right to make it tachrichim? Ein adam oiser davar shein shaloi gishmak akasha amalei. So he told him back, a Yisayid miloi moide Rav Yehuda demechusar kavayna. Even according to Rav Yehuda, that holds hadin ima. He agrees that if she wants it, she's going to have to be teveya it. She's going to have to go through a legal proceeding before she's able to get it, which is always complex. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Adinima, that just means that she has rights to it. But being that she still has to go after it from a legal standpoint, right now we look at it as being in his rishos. And if it's in his rishos, he is considered a bialim to a certain extent. Meaning what the Gemara is saying is that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Adinima, being that it's mechusar guvayna, it's so somewhat considered b'shus of the husband, and for that reason he was considered a bailim, that he was able to make it aser, and there was no issue by the tachrichim of ein adam oiser davar shein shaloi. So obviously there's a lot of lumdas flying around in the sugya, but that's not for us. Rava l'tamein, the Gemara says, and the fact that Rava would hold that a person could make something aser, if it's in his rishus now, although it's meshubit to somebody else, that's Rava l'shitasa, because Rava holds in Shas, as is often quoted, that hektish, the koyach of hektish, the koyach of chametz, which is asabana, and shichrur, that's a get shichrur, that an adoin can write to his eved. Can I mafkiyah midei shibud, have an ability to be mafkiyah midei shibud? So there are certain things that have an ability to be mafkiyah midei shibud. In that same vein, Rava would hold that one can take a beged that is in his rishos, even if it's meshubet to somebody else, put it on top of tachrichen, make it asabana, although it's going to mess up the real owner of the beged, the person that this beged is meshubet to, it doesn't matter, because just like hektish, chametz, and shichur, amafkimid eshibur, it's in that same vein. Amrav Yehuda, one final halacha on this topic. If a woman brought two begadim, or two kelim, into a marriage, for elef zoz, and together they are worth elef zoz, she brought it in a same barzel. V'shafchu, they went up in value. V'amdu al shnei alof, now they're worth $2,000. So originally, each one was worth $500, together $1,000. And now, each one's worth $1,000, together they're worth $2,000. $2,000. Now he died or he gave her a get. She comes now to take back Ritzon Barzel. So in theory, all she's really going to be entitled to now is one of the kalim. She gets $1,000 worth of value. Initially, it was two kalim. Now it's only one kali. There's no question that the profit belongs to the husband. The Mishnah said that. Isiru, right? So any value that goes up, that certainly is in the possession. There's no machlikas amiram. That the Mishnah itself said. But Rabbi Yehuda said a big chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda said, echad noitas l'biksuba. She's entitled to one of these kalim. That's her ksuba. That's the $1,000 that she brought in. The echad neisenes domim v'noitlasa v'pnei shvach beisavia. If she wants the other keli, she can get it, but she has to pay for it. So let's say she says, I want the other keli that I brought in also. No worries, it's worth $1,000 right now. Give me $1,000, it's yours. But the point is, she has a right to force the husband or the husband's yarshim to sell her the nechasim. So the Gemara says, my kamash malon, it should be pashit. That what is the chiddush? Shvach beis avia dida. Have you the svar of shvach beis avia? Ha'am Rabbi Yehuda chadasim. This is Rabbi Yehuda. So you'll tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasay. Very gishmak. But the Gemara asks it as a kasha. I don't need Rabbi Yehuda to tell me the same halacha twice. Says the Gemara, pashit the teretz. Mal the time I would have thought hani mili hecha the mati la mishko b'ksubasa. When is she entitled to force her husband to give her what she brought in? That's if it's going to be hers. She's going to take it as part of her being teveya her ksuba. But over here, she got her ksuba ready when she took the first keli. She just wants that. She wants to buy it back. Who said you could buy something back? That's a separate chiddush. Kamash malan, if she's taking it b'teira as being teveya her ksuba, and the question is, do I get the keli that I brought in, or do I just take value for it? That's Rabbi Yehuda said hadinima. But over here, she got her ksuba with the first keli. She wants a second keli unrelated to her ksuba. That's a separate chiddush. And there, Rabbi Yehuda said that the svara of shvach Beisavia di Dahavi is such a powerful svara that even not in the context of her being Tevei Ruxuba, I just want the Kaili back and I'll give you money for it. Even that, Rabbi Yehuda said, a woman is allowed to do.